Hey, got the morning show with Aaron, and we got Rob's in the studio for our Nature Connection segment. Morning, Rob's.
Good morning, Aaron.
So Rob's brought in, it's a really interesting collection of things here. He's got a couple of knives safely sheathed away. You got your cell phone in a leather case, and something digital inside a wooden case, handcrafted wooden case. Yeah. So what have we got here today?
I'm sitting here next to you sort of giggling to myself because it's very Rob's. Aaron asked me because we had a chat last time, and it's New Zealand Music Month, as you all know. And he said, "Oh, maybe you could do a bit of your music today." So I brought in one of my main machine, housed in a beautiful wooden box from Trade Aid down the road. And I just happened to have unintentionally two of my bush knives from Kuratao, which I'd just bring him back to Kuratao today because they needed to be washed because we dirted them skinning a possum actually on Friday. Right. At
I was going to check how sharp it was, but I'm not going to do that now.
Yeah, yeah. I've actually had 5 stitches from those knives.
Oh, wow.
Foolishly. So, yeah, it's, you know, it sort of represents me quite a lot, I think. The sort of nature bushman side of me, and then the technological electronica creativity side of me.
So we have, mostly we talk to you about the nature side of things these days, but the first time you came in the studio, I think, was you were playing some music, but you were guitar and voice at that time, so I didn't know that this existed. But Rob's gave me a track, which I've been playing a little bit this month, called Everything I Need, and it's a kind of a drum and bass. Did you say it's somewhere in that genre range?
No. Aaron.
I thought that's what you said.
No. I'm sure you can pigeonhole it in something.
No, I'm not trying to pigeonhole it.
Well, no, but drum and bass is a bit different. Drum and bass is a lot faster and with quite a different beat. I classify my music as electronica.
Okay,
but
sorry.
But I haven't really been involved too much in electronic music since I was, not even 20. So since my teen years.
Oh, okay.
I haven't really followed it. So since then, I'm sure everything's, branched out a bit, and there's all these subgenres.
Oh, there's bazillions. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I can name none of them. But so in this box, I'm looking at something that looks vaguely like a keyboard with some twisty bits in it, and I don't know what the heck that is.
No, it's amazing. I never knew these existed 4 months ago.
Oh, okay.
Actually, as I said, I had a bit of a studio in my teen years when I lived in England, and music's a big part of the culture in England. It's especially up north where I'm from, it's a bit dull and wet and cold, and there's a lot of time spent indoors.
Not much else to do sometimes.
A good way to express yourself and to fill in that time is obviously a famous music scene in England that's got around the world. But back in those days, I'd have a desk probably similar to what we got in the studio here, and I'd have some big clunky bits of, a big synthesizer and a keyboard and samplers and effects processors. And they were all pretty big pieces of equipment. And obviously in 20 years, technology's shrunk in size a lot.
Yeah.
And this little thing in front of me now is made by a Swedish company called Teenage Engineering. And they, in the whole sort of realm of electronic music gear, they definitely create small things. But this actually is way more fun to use and actually does a lot more than everything in my old giant desk would 20 years ago. It's quite amazing.
I've got to say, it's pretty incomprehensible to me.
But
there's buttons and there's numbers and symbols and I don't know.
Every button sort of does multiple things. So there's a bit of a learning process, a learning curve, getting to know your way around it.
Yeah.
But it's very fun to use once you do.
So what is it? Is it just it's a synthesizer basically?
In the
sense that it synthesizes sounds.
Yeah, it's got different synth engines, it samples, got a microphone in it so you can sample straight into it. It's got different effects processors, it's got performance effects. It's actually got video and lighting controls,
really?
Which can be synchronized. Apparently, it's the only machine in the world to date which you can create your music on and control your visuals.
Does it
really lighting?
Does it make the visuals follow the music?
Yeah, it's all synced to your music.
Yeah,
which and it fits in your pocket. You know, I guess for people at home, it's less than a centimeter thick. It's probably 5 centimeters wide and about 20 centimeters long. It's a very small thing.
Yeah.
But very powerful and very fun.
Can we make some noises with it? Just any noise at this time will satisfy me.
If I push buttons, is it going to... We haven't actually sort of done any sort of sound check on
this. You're not even going to hear it because you haven't got headphones on.
Oh, okay.
Should we play a song?
I'm going to push a button now.
Yeah,
are you ready, Aaron?
I'm ready.
All right, you ready, Raglan? Here we go. Does that make a sound? Is that coming through?
Yes.
It is?
All right. Sounds like a xylophone.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. I don't think this is the way to do it. I don't think you've been able to hear it.
I need headphones.
You need headphones. Well, we'll do something else because we do have some headphones for you. But should we play?
I tell you what, just give me 1 second because what I'm going to do, we're going to play a track and I've got that track live on my OPZ right now.
Okay.
And I am hopefully just going to mute some tracks and I'm going to play this.
As soon as I turn.
Is something playing?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so just a little intro into how electronic music can be made. There's infinite ways of making it now. You can hear what now is 2 channels playing of this song. So part of a song, and I'm going to mute them, and I'm going to play that and that, which is 2 more channels of the song. So you sort of build up these different channels, different melodies or loops, and you can add a lot of variation into it. There's probably some drums there.
There's nothing very heavy.
Nothing very heavy. I try not to make it heavy now.
Okay.
I used to, you know, have a good solid kick drum. Oh, headphones.
There we go. Try those. Now, there's nothing happening at the moment music-wise, but you should be able to hear me.
Yeah. I used to use heavy kick drums, but I found it's too easy. All you need for some people and some venues, a good bass line and a good kick drum, and people are happy.
Yeah.
Which is great. You know, I want people to be happy, but I'm more of the school of, well, I don't agree with the term, but they call it IDM, which is intelligent dance music.
Oh, there's a bit of a...
it's a bit more geeky.
That's a loaded term, isn't it?
Yeah. As I say, I don't agree. You know, as everyone has their beautiful creations and it's from them and it's always, you know, amazing because it's a representation of who they are. I like music which is, you could sit and listen. It's not necessarily dance music, you know, it's electronic music. There's always things going on. From a producer's point of view, I like to listen to music where I just think, wow, that's really clever, you know. I've got no idea how he's done that, how he's made that sound or he's created that, you know. And it's the more sort of geeky community of electronic music production.
Maybe call it geeky dance music.
Geektronica is a term I like to use.
Okay, geektronica, that's better. All
right.
Shall we
play a tune?
Yeah, one of the ones you've given me.
Yeah. So this one, none of my tunes, for one, I don't use a computer. So everything's just a live performance, which I've just sat, you know, so every time I perform, it's going to be a little bit different.
Yeah.
And I haven't sort of mastered, so this is the first recording of this tune, so it isn't as polished and as well mixed as you might. That's my disclaimer.
Okay, and it's called Biscuits.
It's called Biscuits.
All right, we'll play it and you can explain why Biscuits afterwards. Thank you. With Aaron, that's Biscuits by Robs, and you're kind of implying that's an early version.
Yeah, it's the only version. That is literally me sat in my shed. Every time I perform a song, it's live, so every time it's different. And this is the one and only time that I've recorded this. Obviously, I'd need to pump the vocals up a bit and maybe bring some of the synths down a bit in levels. But
will you remember how to play it?
Yeah, pretty much. I think if I was playing a gig at the weekend, I'd, you know, spend a bit of time in a week going over the performance of songs to remind myself.
So you say you recorded it live, but did you already sort of know what you're going to play, or was this a in the moment jam?
I'd pre-programmed, sort of 6 or 7 patterns which come in and out.
Yeah.
And I'm tweaking them, you know, all the variation in each pattern's me sort of live tweaking things. So, you know, there's not really any 4 beats of the song, which is actually the same, which is kind of unusual for electronic music because it can be quite loopy, repetitive. I think that's what I love about it, is that I'm trying to make music which has that live aspect as well. It's electronic, but, you know, it's me singing live. It's not sort of sampled. There's one channel on this. So that's me. If I sing a wrong note, I have to start the whole song again. Well, there's lots of wrong notes in there, but... Yeah, okay. It's good enough for my standards.
And tell us about your microphone, Robs.
I got a $40 set of gaming headphones with one of those little mics which comes out in front of your mouth, the boom mic, I think they call them.
Yeah.
And I like the lo-fi sound, and it's easy. I can plug them in and I can go. And because it's easy, I'll probably enjoy it more and make more music.
Okay. So are you going to do anything else with this? Or you had some fun and you move on?
Yeah, I think other than changing a few of the levels, I think if I play a gig, I think, you know, because I'm only listening to things on headphones or on a tiny speaker at home.
Yep.
If I play a gig, I think I'll listen to my music through new ears, and then I might think, it'd be cool to add or subtract something from this tune.
Yeah,
but for now, I just like the creative process, so I'm sort of on to the next one.
Okay. So, folks, we're talking to Robs, and he's brought in, if you didn't hear from the start, a lovely box from Trade Aid, and inside is basically a music studio. One of those wooden Indonesian box from Bali or Indonesia or somewhere in that part of the world, I think that's where they come from.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like a weird television remote, basically. Like a really special, specialized one that might maybe blow something up, but hopefully not. We've had enough of that this weekend.
True, with the storms.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to come in a bit closer to the mic, because the microphone, I'm having to turn it up, and the microphone's picking up. This is our transmitter that we're using at the moment, is in the studio. That's the high pitched noise we can hear. So we'll get in a bit closer there and try. I can still hear
How's
it.
How's that? Is that a bit better?
It's a bit better. Cool. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so. You've got now. There's another track we have been playing called "Everything I Need," which you sent me a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Now, what was that about?
What was the song about?
Oh, actually, hold on. Back a track. Back a step. The one we just played was called "Biscuits." Why is it called "Biscuits"?
I think if you followed my musical journey, there tends to be a bit of a light-hearted sense of humour in most of the things I do, other than, you know, the sort of protest storytelling things I've done. So it's a song about things are being a bit difficult. It's quite a British song, you could say. It's like, let's put the kettle on and get the biscuits out and everything's all good.
Okay, all right.
It's a bit of a joke.
So you mentioned some protest songs that you've done, and I think that's what I first interviewed you about. And there's still a video on YouTube of that. but you were going on a tour, and I can't remember what that was about.
It was about sharing the inspiring stories of really positive environmental and social things people are doing around New Zealand.
That's not what people think of as a protest song, though, is it?
Yeah. Well, I guess in my younger life, not that I'm old, I put a bit of energy into fighting the system and into protesting and into standing up for certain things. But then as I got older, I decided I could make a better impact by inspiring people and looking at the positives. And so for me, that is still addressing, you know, some of the challenges and issues that we're facing in our world. But it's, you know, so in a way, that way I still see it as protest. But, you know, trying to look at the positive sides of amazing things people are doing to regenerate the land and to, you know, build communities and amazing, you know, educational things for the kids to get into.
I have to admit, I've been on a pretty similar journey. Like when I started with the radio here, I did a show called Under the Radar, and I was 31 when I started. I'm now 50, and I was the angry guy who was showing everyone what was wrong with the national media and all the mainstream media, and bringing people the facts about what was happening. And sometimes I'd play something that would, but it'd be listening, it would make me angry, and then I'd play a piece of music to match my headspace and things like that. And like people liked it. A lot of people liked it. But in the end, I think if you're coming from a place of feeling powerless, then being angry is a step up from that. But after a while, you've got to move on from being angry to trying to build something, I think.
Yeah. And did you find the people that liked it were often people that already liked it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People that already knew that story, and it resonated with them because, you know, it tuned into what they're already feeling.
It's hard to know exactly. Like obviously, I was trying to bring information to people, but, a lot of people need to shut out the bad news to be able to live. And so you're never going to get very far. Like, if I ever hear anyone ever again say that they're trying to... it wasn't quite raise awareness, but like have a protest to raise awareness. Like people know, we know, we don't need any more climate change awareness raising, for instance, right? We all know about that. We need solutions, and we need pressure on the right people to give the solutions.
Yep.
So,
and some good inspiring stories of what people are doing to, you know.
Because there are people all over the world, even looking at climate change, all over the world, there are people in little corners that we don't even know about, and they're all doing stuff. And there was a guy in Zimbabwe called Alan Savory for 40 years was doing stuff that no one knew about. And he's shown the world how to put carbon back into the soil, which is what we really need to do. Even if we stop driving cars today and stop all our coal-fired power stations and things like that, we'll still go off a cliff.
Yeah.
But there's people out there with real solutions. Yeah.
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 Sure.
And that's more fun.
Alan Sainsbury, you say?
Savory.
Savory.
Alan Savory from Zimbabwe.
Okay.
Yeah.
I might see what he's been up to.
Yeah, he's got quite a famous YouTube video.
Okay.
Yeah, some of the vegan community doesn't like him because of stuff that's gone on in the past. But he has a practical solution. Evolves animals, but then the ecosystem evolves animals.
Yeah.
So, it appears to be a solution. And he's not the only one who's come up with this idea, but he's just the first one that pops into my head. But we got sidetracked. We're supposed to be talking about your music, but I guess we've both been on that journey. Like what do you? Like, actually, mention what you do now, because you're working with kids primarily.
It seems to be
with Nature Connection.
I mean, that's my main sort of. 3 days a week.
Yeah.
Run Kuratāia.
And this feels more constructive than... it's not a protest activity at all.
I mean, you know, moment to moment, I think we all sort of do our best with life and with what we've got. And, you know, life's full of challenges, but I think we all do our best. And my journey has sort of brought me to, working with kids. And for me, it feels, you know, I love it. And it feels right, and it feels nourishing, and while working with families, you know, not just the kids, but their families as well.
Yeah.
And, yeah, building community. And
what's the basis, if you had to describe your philosophy or the point of what you're doing in a couple of sentences, how do you say it? A
couple of sentences. That's hard.
Yeah.
can I do it in a couple of sentences? It goes deep, Aaron. I've learnt that, you know, while there is books you can get, you know, about sort of nature and forest schools, and, you know, there definitely is a movement there. But I've found beneath that movement, the movement really is to sort of connect people with nature, you know, with their surroundings and the world around them, and have empathy and understanding on how it all works and build relationship with it. But I have found that the really important work is to build relationship with yourself. I feel we're all born connected, and I feel we journey through our life, we build barriers to that. You know, reasons to not enjoy things, and not like reasons to not feel into things, and not explore why things feel good for us or bad for us. So I think Kudeta is not necessarily about learning all the different plants and, you know, these traditional crafts and, you know, medicine. It's learning and healing ourselves, and just working on those parts of ourselves which really are the cause of why we are not connecting with each other and ourselves and the world around us.
You're right about not being able to do that in two sentences.
Yep. It's the best I could do.
Now tie it into your music.
That's hard. My music's an older journey. My music's really, you know, I grew up in a city called Bradford in the north of England, and lived a very happy life in a house once I left home, with a whole bunch of friends, and we were all musicians and DJs and producers and promoters. And music is what the glue which stuck us all together. So I had that experience, which really, you know, is some of the happiest days of my life. And those memories still linger, and the joy and happiness that brought me still lingers. And, you know, I'm a creative person. So getting back into that, whether it's been acoustic music or back into electronica, it's just a continuation of that story of an enjoyment from times long gone.
What about in terms of tying the two things together, what about the idea, like you're talking about, like your work with nature connection is about connection and about connecting to ourselves, and can we say that music enables us to connect to ourselves?
Well I think anything creative is, you know, creativity is an expression.
So for you, for making the music, can listening to the music also do that?
I think for me, the way my brain works is when I listen to music, I'm not necessarily just listening to, like, oh, that, you know, that sounds nice. I pick things apart of it, and I'm interested in, you know, the hows and the whys that things have been created.
So you were saying before, you listen it kind of as a producer would listen.
Yeah.
So for those of us who aren't musical, like we don't play and we don't, especially don't produce, we're just listening for the pleasure or the emotional hit.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
But I'm not saying it's, you know, necessarily a good thing. Maybe it would be nice for me to be able to just put a tune on and switch off and just enjoy the sound of it for what it is. And, you know, occasionally I can sort of do that. But
Neil Finn once said, I remember reading, he said that he could only listen to world music. If he listens to pop music, he's too busy analysing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I even analyse world music.
You're a bad case. Hey, let's play Everything I Need. We'll just play a little bit of it, and then we'll talk a bit about it, and then it's probably time to wrap up the show.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show with Aaron, and that's Rob's track, Everything I Need. And if you were, you probably didn't pick it up, but I actually used a bit of that song for the Sting to introduce Raglan Tracks during the month when it's just the computer playing. No DJs in the studio. Twice an hour, it'll say, here's another Raglan track, and play a Raglan track, and it's a little part of that music that I use.
Can I ask, what's a Sting?
A Sting is... hold on. We've got a wide selection of Stings.
You're
here.
You're not the only one who can ask hard questions, Aaron.
No, I just have to get organised. This is a Sting.
Awesome!
There you go, that's a Sting. This.
You're listening to The Morning Show, proudly sponsored by Extreme Zero Waste.
I like that one.
I don't play that one very much.
That's Zach, isn't it?
Yeah, that, well done, you recognise it.
Yeah.
His father didn't recognise his voice on the radio, but you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're getting it with the headphones. So yeah, that's a Sting.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. That's something new.
I use Sting instead of Jingle, because Jingle sounds a bit...
Are they the same thing?
Not.
I've heard of a Jingle.
No, yeah, it's not necessarily the same thing. I think Sting is more accurate. But I don't know if we're boring the listeners on these details. Let's talk about the song. Track. Do you call it? You probably call it a track. But your voice is in it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hold on. Is it a song if it's got a voice, and we just call it a track if it's instrumental?
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not big on naming things, and it is what it is.
Okay. So what is this track?
this is probably one of my more, I don't know, ones which you could actually put on a dance floor. I don't know, what is this track? It's glitchy. All of my things tend to be quite glitchy. By glitchy I mean, you know, there's a few things which might seem a little bit out of place, or...
That is a genre, glitch.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's actually used. Yeah, that too.
There you go. Maybe that's what I play. Maybe that's what I'm into.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm using... Most of my songs have got some vocals on them, some form of vocals. This one sounds probably a little bit not too much like me. I'm not one that really too much enjoys listening to my own voice. So.
Oh, okay.
I tend to try and make it sound like it's not my voice. Actually, the vocals on this, the same company which made the machine and brought in, made these things called pocket operators, and they look like little calculators, and they fit in your pocket. And there's about 12 of them, and they all do different, slightly different things. And one of them's a vocal synthesis machine.
Yeah.
So I actually put my vocals into this tiny little calculator thing, and then I sampled that onto the OPZ, which I brought in. So I've actually used two machines for this one.
The extravagance.
Yeah.
And if you've just tuned in, I'll repeat again what I've said a couple of times during the show. This piece of electronic equipment looks like a crazy... remote control. It's sitting inside a carved Indonesian box bought from Trade Aid. It's just to heighten the contrast in Rob's world. But it is... It's a full-on synthetic music producer, isn't it?
Yeah. you can't do everything. A computer, you can do everything.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do everything. I like having a framework to work within, and then it's up to my creativity within that. Otherwise, it's too overwhelming to have, you know, any single thing that you could ever dream of doing, you can.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of musicians say that when they go to make some music, sometimes they give themselves deliberate limits. Like, today we're not using the hi-hat.
Okay.
Then we're going to try and make our music sound like our music without that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Deliberate limitations. And I have, my brother lives in Japan, and he knows these guys who, they kind of make, there's a genre of music which is kind of called noise.
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't sing along stuff by any stretch. But they get my brother to drum, and he's not a drummer, he's not a musician, and he's not very good. But they want someone who's really limited to play, so then that forces them to try to create something around it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, everything I need has come to an end. And I think the show's probably come to an end. We've been talking to Robs, and technically it's Nature Connection, but it's Raglan Music Month, New Zealand Music Month at the moment, so we've focused on that. And do you think, what do you think you'll do next with this machine? Just another day you'll go into the shed and see what comes out?
Yeah. There's a few tracks I'm working on at the moment. Something a little bit funkier and something a little bit more mellow. Watch this space. One of these days I might actually do a gig somewhere. Okay. I just don't know where I'd play this sort of music.
I imagine you in the forest now having
a digital techno gig. I don't think I could. I think I'd refuse that invitation, because I feel, you know, if I wouldn't just rock up to your house and I start a party.
Mm.
And the forest is the house of many beautiful beings who might not appreciate those loud noises. I know they wouldn't appreciate those loud noises. So I don't think it would be fair. It wouldn't really fit in with my values to go and play lots of loud music in the forest.
Yeah, it's a fairly superficial analysis to say, oh, you'll go and play it in the forest because you're the forest guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a time and a place?
Yep, somewhere. Look out! I don't like naming myself either. There's a poster on the wall here from one of the gigs a few years ago, It just says "these guys" because I didn't want to put "the great Robs is playing." I bring my music and I'm happy to share it, but I'm not really interested in popularity of it. Yeah.
Mm, all right. So we mentioned classes and things. Have you got any like weekend classes or something coming up? We should just mention that while we've got you in the studio.
Yeah, we're getting into winter now, so I still haven't figured out dates because life's so very busy. But look out for posters for my Conscious Bushcraft workshops, which I ran last year as well. So that'll be like a day's primitive fire skills and a day's navigation, maybe a day's wild food and medicine, but done in a very gentle, soothing, sort of sacred manner.
So there won't be a test at the end. All right, Robs, thanks for coming in.
Thanks.